our children and the youth under construction. Our church and pastor under construction. Thanks for your patience. And so this leads us to our first life application. When God gives us a dream, we need patience on our part. You just want to write that down? We need patience. Life application number one. We need patience. God is working in our lives. The Holy Spirit is working in our lives. We're under construction. We need patience. And then we see here that his dreams were fulfilled. He gave his plan to Pharaoh to appoint an overseer and commissioners and collect and store the food for the good and the bad years. And Pharaoh then appointed him as prime minister. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You should be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders." So God took that detour. Think about that. What happened in the life of Joseph? He was a shepherd. And then he was put by his brothers in a pit slave. And then he was put in prison. And then he was raised to the position of prime minister. You talk about detours. You talk about ups and downs of his dreams. And we see here that his dream was fulfilled. Later on, we see that his brothers even went to Egypt. And as his dream was, they bowed to him. Our dreams are something that God gives us. And we need to know that detours may come, but we need to be patient. My dad had the dream of starting a company called Coinco in 1960 at the age of 27. Later they added Morco, another company, and Comore, another company. Three companies that came together. And thinking about that, you know, that we are to follow the dream that God gives to us to fulfill His will for our lives. The dream to go to Taiwan and then start the Diaobao Church in 1983 at the age of 29. And this year that church is celebrating their 35th anniversary. In that village there were no churches at all. And went to look at where a church could be started in that village of over 20,000. Not one single church. And even to this day, it's the only Christian church there. It's the only church. So went down a street there, spent one day looking around at what might be possibilities, found nothing. That night, as prayed about this, "Lord, what would you have? Is there..." And I remember very clearly that night in my dream seeing two buildings side by side. And next day went out and went down the main highway, the main road, Zhongqing Lu, and saw there two buildings side by side that were for available to rent. And so that church was started. And today, this year, they're celebrating their 35th anniversary. So that leads us to life application number two. When God gives us a dream, we need to be faithful, to be determined and put effort in our part. God gives us that dream. He leads us and directs us, and we need to be faithful to that. So point two, just remember this. Be faithful, be determined, and effort on our part. And then number two, difficulties. His family had difficulties. He was hated by his brothers. Now, why? Why would his brothers hate him? Why would they hate Joseph? Let me suggest to you three reasons we see here. First of all, he tattled on his brothers. In chapter 37, verse 2, Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers. Now, they were shepherds. And he brought their father a bad report about them. I don't know, maybe they weren't taking care of the sheep. They were off doing other things. But he told his father this bad report. And then to make matters worse, he was favored by his father. Now, Israel, or Jacob, loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age. And he made an ornate robe, a robe of many colors. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. All right, so the favoritism that the father showed to Joseph caused them to hate him even more. And then the third thing, he was hated more for his dream. Joseph had his dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. His brothers were jealous of him. And so he was also rebuked by his father. And when he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him. And his father kept the matter, though, in his mind as he thought about it. And then later we see how he was sold into slavery at the age of 17. You young people, age of 17, Joseph was sold as a slave by his own brothers. You know, you might think of that as the death of your dream. You might think that that's it. There's no way. And you might give up. But it looks like it's impossible. The death of a dream. Let me remind you of this quote here. The death of a dream is a day that you stop believing in the work it takes to get there. Let me repeat that. The death of a dream is a day that you stop believing in the work it takes to get there. So, what may seem impossible with God, all things are possible. Joseph, now sold as a slave. And in that pit, it looked like the end of his dream. But then we also see not only the difficulties there with his family, but we see also the moral temptations that he faced. As he was sold as a slave, he was purchased by Potiphar. And he was an official in Egypt. And Potiphar's wife enticed him. Look in your Bibles at Genesis chapter 39. And these verses 6 to 7. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said to him, "Come to bed with me." And so he was handsome, he was well built, he was favored. And she, enticed him. And then she didn't stop with that. Read on in verses 10 to 12. She spoke to Joseph day after day. Temptation came again and again. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants were inside. And so she caught him by his cloak, by his coat, and said to him, "Come to bed with me." Now, the temptation was intense. But I want you to notice here that Joseph resisted that temptation. He resisted the temptation. Look down here. But he refused. "How then could I do such a wicked thing?" First of all, he recognized, he acknowledged that this is wrong. This is wicked. But notice beyond that, he said these words, "and sin against God." It would only be sinning against his master, Potiphar, to do such a thing. But more importantly, it would be a sin against God. And so we need to be reminded that when we're tempted, as we all are tempted, that to give in to that temptation is a sin against God. And so he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. Now, he was wise. Not only did he resist the temptation, he did not want to be alone with her. And we saw how that she arranged for that, that her servants were gone. But even then, he left his coat or his cloak in her hand, and he ran out of the house. He ran away. He resisted the temptation. He refused. And then we see here that he also ran. If it becomes necessary, you run. You run. If there's only, you look for the escape route, you look for the exit, you run. Now, we're living in a day where there's temptation all around us. Young people and adults as well. The internet is a information highway, but it's also a highway for temptation. And so we need to be aware of this. The internet with many more temptations, pornography. There are things there that you not to look at, the chat rooms. We know that those who have fallen to that. Pornography. I could tell you the story of my brother-in-law. Because of a pornography he got into, he lost his family. And he's living in a home now. 5 years younger than me, he's living in a home. He lost his health, he lost his family. A chat room. We know of a wife who took off with someone because of her contact with him in a chat room. There are things that we can do as parents. How to Protect Your Children on the Internet is a good book for that. Josh McDowell has written a book, Why True Love Waits. How to Resist Sexual Pressure. If you love me, you do it. You hear that temptation. But true love waits. So Joseph, he waited. Life application number 3. Mark this down. When tempted with sexual immorality, we need to resist, refuse, and run. Just get that last part. We need to resist the temptation. Refuse it. And run. And then, of course, Potiphar's wife falsely accused him. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. Look, she said to them, this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came here in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. And when he heard my scream for help, he left his cloak behind and ran out of the house. False accusation. And so we see that false accusation. And because of that, Potiphar put Joseph in prison. And so here are lessons for the difficulties of the past. Whether they're family difficulties or temptations, these difficulties that we have in the past. And this is something for us to consider. But there's the application. And then the third point here, the desires. What are the desires of your heart? That's very important. What are the desires of Joseph's heart? We see here, first of all, his desires is that he was seeking God. God's presence. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered and he lived in the house of the Egyptian master. Even when he was sold as a slave, God was with him. Even at the lowest point, in the pit, when he was cast in the pit by his brothers, God was with him. And God had Potiphar be his master. But while Joseph was there, you remember what happened, he falsely accused, he was put in prison. And even there, in prison, the Lord was with him. And he showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. Even there, God was with him. In the pit and in the prison, God was with him. Sometimes our paths may lead us to the pit or to the prison. But if our hearts are right and we're seeking God, God is there with us. Remember this verse here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. You look at this verse closely here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. The words here we see tells us, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. God rewards those who diligently seek Him. And then the desires, we see not only was his desire for the presence of God, but secondly, his desire was for the blessings, God's blessing. And when his master saw that the Lord was with him, we see these, that, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did. Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he trusted to his care everything he owned. And from the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. He was blessed of God. And then we see this again when he was put in prison. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all that he held in the prison. And he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Yes, there were detours in that dream. Yes, but God was with him and God caused him to succeed. God's blessing was there. And then I want you to notice the third thing is God's glory. As he also interpreted dreams, he gave glory to God. Do not interpretations belong to God? I cannot do it, Joseph said. He replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. So he was very careful to give God all the glory. I can't do it, but God will. God will give Pharaoh the answer. And so not only was he seeking God, but he was also seeking God's will. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Aseneth, daughter of Potiphera, the priest of On. And so Joseph named these two sons. Now pay close attention to the names he gave these two sons. He named the firstborn Manasseh. Manasseh means forget. Forget. And Joseph had learned to forgive his brothers and forget what had happened in the past. That's an important lesson. Sometimes we have difficulty getting over the past. We have difficulty forgiving and forgetting and moving on with our lives. But Joseph did that. He forgave his brothers and he forgot. He called that son Manasseh. To forget. And said, it is because God had made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. But then the second son was born, and he named him Ephraim. And Ephraim means twice fruitful. He said, it is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. God has blessed me twice over. Two times God has made me fruitful. We cannot be fruitful until we're ready to forgive and forget and move on from the past. And God can cause us to be fruitful. And so Joseph named these two sons, forget, fruitful. And so here's a very important lesson for us. If in life you have a choice, you have a choice. You can be bitter over the past, or better. You can choose to be better and forget the bitter. You have a choice. So here's life application number four. And if you write this down, when tempted to be bitter, when the past is hard for us to get over that past, when tempted to be bitter, we need to forgive and forget and be better by seeking God and God's will. Move on. Move on to be fruitful. And so we see here, Joseph's Hebrew name means add. To add. My youngest son, his name is Joseph. Add. Rachel called him that She believed a son would be added, another son would be added, to add. And we're reminded of this here, this truth of 2 Peter chapter 1. And for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. That's the foundation. Your faith in Jesus Christ. Putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ is your foundation. And then we build upon that. We add what? Add to your faith goodness. And to goodness, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection. And to mutual affection, love. These are things we're building, we're adding to our faith. And Joseph is an example of that to us. It's interesting to note also Joseph's Egyptian name. His Egyptian name means is Zaphnath-Paneah. It means abundant life. Jesus promised that we might have life in Him. If we believe in Him, we'll have life in Him. And not only life, but it would be abundant life. John chapter 10, verse 10. It would be life to the full. And so think about Joseph. We see God gave him abundant life. Goodness added to his faith, goodness in the midst of hatred and jealousy. Goodness. Knowledge of dreams and interpretation. Self-control in temptations and trials. Perseverance in slavery and prison. Godliness in Egypt and before his family. Mutual affection for his wife and children. And love. Love for his brothers. There's a verse in Romans chapter 13 and verse 14 that we as Christians ought to remember this verse. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. We put on the robe of righteousness, but we clothe ourselves in Jesus Christ. And I think of that, that's like Joseph's coat of many colors. We add to our faith these things that is part of being an image of Christ. It's like a coat of many colors. As you know, recently, Evangelist Billy Graham passed away, and we saw this past week, his funeral. And I thought this is interesting. His wife, Ruth Bell Graham, asked that these words be written on her tombstone. And so she had seen the sign, the signs that saying, under construction, thanks for your patience. She thought about that as her life, under construction. God is working in my life. Thanks for your patience. And then at the end of her life, she wanted these words put on her tombstone. These words that say, end of construction. End of construction. Thanks for your patience. We're always, God's Spirit is always working in our lives. We're under construction. Our Christian lives, we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We add these things to that. We're under construction until the end of our life. End of construction. Thanks for your patience. Because she grew up in China, her parents were missionaries in China, she also had on her tombstone the Chinese character for righteousness. That it's only as we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ that we're made righteous, justified. Because of faith in Jesus Christ. And so, here we see our lives are under construction. Thanks for your patience. Until the end of our life. The end of construction. Billy Graham's is buried next to her there. So let this be a reminder to us. The dreams that God has given to us, the difficulties and the desires of our heart. We are under construction. Thanks for your patience. Let's bow in prayer together. Father, we thank you this day for the lessons of Joseph's life. Lord, think of the dreams you gave to him, the many difficulties that he endured, the temptations he overcame. Father, the desires of his heart to seek after you and to do your will. Father, may this be an example to us. Help us to apply that to our lives. Lord, we thank you that the Spirit of God is working in our lives. We're under construction. We thank you for that. That your Spirit is working continually in our hearts. Help us to be patient with one another. And then, Lord, I pray that you would help us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ as that coat of many colors to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you in Jesus' name.